all in the New Testament. It's always when we evangelize. Go study this. It's always not God loves you so much and has a plan for your life. The call is always repent and seek after the kingdom of God. And the reason that is because if you're not of God, you're headed for the wrath of God. Me telling you about God's love, if I don't tell you, now God loved the world. He loves, he'll love you. But you have to repent, and you have to turn. And you have to turn from your sin. So faith in that shed blood and resurrection, repent. Change your mind, change your ways. Test your life, your religious body, the culture, what you're involved in, how you talk, how you act, how you dress, everything to the word of God. The Bible says God sees a willing vessel, you'll be born again. When you're born again, we used to be, I don't know if you can believe this, we used to be worldly drunks and partiers. 15 years ago, we were worldly drunks and partiers. God transformed our hearts and our minds. We were the worst of the worst. We were wicked people. We didn't love anybody. I wouldn't have wasted my time talking to you people because I didn't love. I didn't have the Spirit of God. Faith, repentance, you're born again. God gives you a new heart. The fruit that you're born again, you must follow after in holiness and obedience. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see God. They don't believe that. They believe, evangelicalism believes you can pretty much live any way you want. I have pastors telling me that, yes, a mass murderer will go to heaven, even if he mass murders people, as long as he just believes in Jesus. This is major in these systems. And the last part, as you're married, we're married, we must endure.
Absolutely.
You don't have a guaranteed marriage today. You have to finish it. How long have you been married?
27.
Okay. If you fail next year and you run off with another woman, those 27 years are wiped away. You're a failure.
Absolutely.
You must endure. So when I preach that gospel, people go, oh no, man, you just believe in Jesus. Cool. See you later.
Yep.
And it's the pastors are telling them that to keep the pews filled. That, yeah, you smoke and you're still getting tattoos and you're worldly and all. But God, Jesus' blood covers you. The Bible says the opposite. In Hebrews 10:26, it says, there is therefore now no more sacrifice for sin. Is Jesus our sacrifice for sin?
Correct.
If we willfully sin.
Yep.
So if I know something sinful and I go, oh God, I know this is sinful, I'm going to keep doing it. I know it's wrong. I like it. I'm going to keep doing it. The blood of Jesus does not cover us anymore.
Absolutely.
So that's the gospel, and I want to share that with you. That's what we go to lift up. These guys are our enemies. We love them, but they're our enemies. But what I wanted to tell you was awesome. I had about 15 or 20 people listening yesterday. I had a young guy, 19, stayed like for 4 hours to listen. He says, come back tomorrow. I'm bringing my whole family. We go to reach sheep. We know the masses are not God's. Jesus said few are going to enter the kingdom of God. When this thing is filled with 10,000, 20,000 people, few.
Very few.
Yeah. Very good. Very few are going to enter into the kingdom. They all think they're in. They all think they got it. They don't have to strive. And I ask people this. They say, wow, you make salvation hard. And I go, the gospel is not complex. It's simple to understand. It's hard to enter in. Marriage is easy. You tell a young couple, yeah, go get married on Saturday. It's easy. What's the hard part? Working, striving.
Enduring.
Her putting up with me. You know, this is the hard part that you have to endure all the time. And so I tell people, if it's so easy, why did my master Jesus in Luke 13 say, strive to enter through the straight way? Because many will try and they can't. And I know why they can't. They don't want to lose their flesh. Mm-hmm. They don't want to lose their family. They don't want to lose their standing. Christmas and Easter. I'm sure your body probably practices these. These are pagan holidays.
Yes.
God never ordained this. This is all made of man. And Jesus tells us in Mark 7, if you keep man-made traditions, he doesn't say, well, that's a sin I'm going to have to cleanse you of. He says your worship of God is in vain. We talked about this. Do you remember Uzzah in the Old Testament?
No.
A priest in the Old Testament. His whole life dedicated to God. God said, don't touch my Ark of the Covenant. Don't touch it with human hands. It started falling.
Okay. Yep.
And he went, oh.
I do, yep.
What did
I
God do?
Do?
What people don't understand is the goodness and love of God and the severity of God. Evangelicalism focuses on the goodness and love of God because they want to fill up buildings, but they're not filling up heaven. We must understand the severity of God. He's coming, 2 Thessalonians 1, with a flaming sword to destroy all those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel. This is not obeying the gospel. That makes sense?
It does make sense.
You've been very
brother,
gracious. Check out the testing. Check out the 10-point test. Go much deeper. We travel the country. You have my email on there. I'd love to encourage you. And here's my offer to every man. I stood out here for 8-9 hours yesterday. I asked any man, bring the Bible. Bring the Bible and show me what I'm saying is wrong.
We'd have to come to our van and
First Peter this morning. Exactly.
Yeah.
It says, be holy for I am holy.
Absolutely, 1 Peter 1:15. So what I said to these men was, as I said, if you go to the scriptures, if you study, if you seek, if you ask God for truth, if you're willing to lose everything, surrender everything, come after him with all that you are, God will show you these truths. But we were in this once, evangelicalism, and we were blinded. We didn't have the Spirit of God in us. We're doing Christmas, we're doing Easter, we're going to church, we're going out drinking. None of the pastors are telling us you must go deeper. I have a real righteous anger. I love them. But righteous anger is not sinful. I have a righteous anger for these money-grubbing hirelings that will not. And many of the men I confront that are pastors, they go, you're right, those are pagan holidays. We should be doing it. But it's what's the norm, and everybody likes it. And I have a righteous anger because those men never told me my false faith, my worldliness, my unwillingness to totally submit to God, that it's going to be able to cost me my soul, it would have cost her soul. Why didn't they tell us that?
We've been figuring that out just the last year and a half. Exact same thing. It's like we start reading stuff and doing independent Bible studies. I don't know if you ever listened to MacArthur.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of John MacArthur. I have a testing of him. Look it up. I'm not a fan of John MacArthur.
But
he's an unbiblical man, I just have to say. He's a Calvinist.
He is a Calvinist.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you're a Calvinist, there's no way you could be a biblical man.
I can't say I'm a Calvinist.
There you go. So watch out for MacArthur. You know MacArthur, real quick, MacArthur has a worldly college, where the girls run around in their, I'll just say it, they have a volleyball team. The girls run around in underwear to play volleyball. And they do all kinds of stupid, he has a camp called Regen. Men and women, young men and women, running through mud and dirt and oil, painting their faces, doing pagan war games. This is all under John MacArthur. Look up my testing. Look up my testing of John MacArthur.
I'll do that.
He's a wicked man. But go ahead, you were going to say your point.
Well, all opinions die at the word of God.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi.
See if these guys really have that conversation. We were yesterday. I'm ready to have the conversation. I'll wait for you done, though.
Go ahead.
So, all opinions die at the word of God.
Say that again, sir.
All opinions die at the word of
Amen.
God.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Must be God's way. Peter says there's one interpretation, not many. And
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's God's interpretation,
yeah.
Not ours.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit reveals that to you. He comes to teach, convict, and comfort. And if you seek God, you seek the Father, and you say, give me truth, he will not confuse you. I asked a man yesterday, I said, if your son, he said to me, he said, doesn't the Bible say you can be in a lot of sin and not even know about it? And I said, I don't know what verse that is.
Yeah.
I said, if you read John 14 and John 16, the Bible says, Jesus said, I'll come and manifest myself to you via the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
He will teach you all things. That's what it says. And I said to this man, I said, if you had a son or children and you knew they were going off into dangerous things, would you warn them? Or would you just let them go? He goes, well, if I was with them, I'd warn them. I said, Holy Spirit's always with us. He always warns us of sin. He always gives us a compass back to the Father. He's not a very holy spirit if he lets you stay in sin, is he?
Absolutely.
Right.
The Holy Spirit doesn't yell. He'll just tell you.
Right, yeah. There's an inner voice. He doesn't speak out loud. There's an inner voice. There's a conscience. And let me give you a quick story where how I believe God guides people. Ready? We preached here yesterday for 9 or 10 hours. It was awesome. Whole bunch of people listening. Contacts from a bunch of young people. It was awesome. Whole bunch of mockers. I had Christians coming out of there swearing at me and saying nasty things. Yeah, this is what evangelicalism raises up. But last night we got done and my voice was toast and I told my wife, I called her sister Debbie. I said, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I said, I don't think this is going to work. So we went to bed. We stayed up till about 1 or 2 working online because we have a bunch of videos of this that are going to go up because we have a testing. Hills Alive Exposed. There's going to be a bunch of videos. And this morning I got up. I think we went to sleep at 2:30. We got up at 8 and I had no plans of coming here. This is, I believe, how God works. And I had no plans of coming here. And we got up and we had coffee and I couldn't even talk. I couldn't even say a word. I was, and I said, oh, well, we're done today. You know, we can't go there. And all of a sudden I got up and I said, Lord, give me what I need today. And all of a sudden, just not a voice outside, all of a sudden I said, We got to go there. Even if I don't preach, even if I'm a mute, we have to go there today. And my wife told me, did we hurry? I said, let's get going. We heard it. We got going. We pulled in here 1 minute, and you walk up to me. This is how the Father works everywhere we go. I wasn't supposed to be at this event. I found out about it. We drove 12 hours to get here, and we usually drive. We live in our van. That's our van. Sport myself. Don't take anyone's money.
Ours is that gray one.
Oh, okay. We love living in our van. We do have a small homestead in Missouri, but we're never there. We travel full time. This is how God works with us. Is I just see something, hear something, I pray about it, and I just feel we need to be there. It's on my conscience. It's that inner voice. And that's how I met you today. That's how I ended up here. That's how all these people got contacts. Many people were encouraged. They were thanking us. They're like you. They're going, you're right about evangelicalism. There's a lot of sin here. I said, who's calling them out? Young girls, grown women, claiming to be Christians, walking around with their cleavage showing, walking around in yoga pants. They might as well spray paint their body. What pastors, what parents are calling these people out?
I think I made that comment yesterday, yeah.
And then they get on stage with wicked men like Stephen Curtis Chapman, whose sons are in a worldly rock band. Stephen Curtis Chapman's daughter, who he adopted, I think, from Haiti, wonderful, he adopted her. You know what she is? She's a cheerleader with Alabama University. Let me ask you a question. Can you open your Bible and show me a verse that would call it godly for a young woman that claims Christ to put on scant clothes and dance around in front of grown men? What do you think that is? Is that lascivious or is that godly? Stephen Curtis Chapman approves of it. I got a testing of him on my website. He approves of it. She signed with Alabama. We're so proud. And he's made, the internet says he's either worth $5 million or $28 million, whatever, selling the things of God. So I kept asking everybody, and I'm going to ask this guy when he's done. Jesus made that whip in John 2 for the men that had merchandised God. And he turned over tables. I want to ask. I missed Crowder last night. We left and he was up there because they threw me out. They wouldn't let me go in there.
I didn't throw you out.
Yeah. Your wicked security guard grabbed my mic and threw me out. You need to rebuke him.
I asked him about that.
I said, would Jesus bring that whip to your back, Stephen Curtis Chapman or Michael or Stephen Crowder, whatever his name is, because you've made merchandise of God? None of the men would answer me. I said, go ask him. Go ask him. If Jesus showed up, is he going to be turning over your merchandise tables, Crowder, as these men promote it and call it of God? No, it's not of God.
Somebody keep pointing at me.
What does your shirt say?
Yeah, I'm.
You're part of this.
I'm here to speak.
You're part of this. I saw your pictures on the internet last night. You are part of this.
No, I'm not.
You.
Bro, you,
sir,
you won't even
have
a
conversation
with me.
I'm going to let you go. You've been gracious. These people stand here.
I'm trying to have a conversation.
I met a young guy over here the other day. I met a young guy yesterday. He's got a prayer tent. He's here in the festival. And he says to me, you're right. Denominations are wrong. Little pagan holidays. This is all pretty worldly. And I said, you're here. You're united to it. No, I'm not united to it. I said, you have a prayer tent in there. You're supporting. The Bible says bad company corrupts. The Bible says if people keep sin that claim Christ, we're not supposed to associate with them. If you're my brother and I love you and you keep sin, the Bible has a formula. It's called biblical separation. I'm to come to you and say, what's your first name?
Randy.
I'm Jim. This is Debbie, by the way. Randy, you're in sin. I love you, brother. Do you see this activity as sin? And you need to seek it out and go, you're right. Wow, I got to repent of that. Great. Now we're redeemed together. If you go, oh, no, I don't think it's sin. And even if it is, I'm going to keep doing it. Well, I bring another brother. Randy, love you. But this is dire. You can't sin in the face of being a Christian. No, I'm good. The Bible says in Matthew 18, bring you before the whole body. It says Jesus talking in Matthew 18. People tell me I'm too harsh. Jesus says, if you won't listen to his one brother, if you won't listen to a couple brothers, if you won't listen to the body, Jesus says, well, just hang out with him because nobody's perfect and you're all. Jesus says, treat him like a publican. That's an unbeliever. That's basically, you're gone. Evangelicalism doesn't practice this. This whole ecumenical thing is sin, and it's a stench in the nostrils of my holy God. So I get passionate about it. People tell me I'm too aggressive. Paul, Apostle Paul in Galatians 5. Maybe you don't know this. Do you know what he told the false teachers to do in Galatians 5, verse 12?
No.
Cut their manhood off. Go look up the word emasculate. He said, I wish that they would emasculate themselves. I said, I've never told a man to cut his manhood. You read John the Baptist. He was not a guy you'd sit at a picnic table with and go, wow, what a nice guy. He's so warm and loving. John the Baptist was a preacher of righteousness. And I like to be a preacher of righteousness. Noah didn't love anybody out of the ark with him. Only his family got out. They loved the world, those people, and they didn't go. So everybody tells me love. Love. This is key for you. I want you to hear this. Everybody says use love for evangelism. Do you know there's one Bible verse in the New Testament? You got to correct me if I'm wrong. I have an article on this. There's one Bible verse in the New Testament that uses love for evangelism. John 3:16. Great verse. For God so loved, past tense, he loved the world when he sent Christ. One time act. All the rest of the time in the New Testament, go look at every witnessing experience. Peter at Acts 2, Paul on Mars Hill in Acts 17 with the pagans. Every time. You will never hear, God loves you so much, and God has a plan for your life, and if you would just come to church and come to a music festival, everything will be okay. The call is always, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then do a word study. Everywhere in the New Testament where you see the word love, outside of like John 3:16, you know what the love is? God loving his people, his true people. Did you know God actually hates sinners? What if I told you, I could prove you in the Bible, God hates the wicked, that's sinners.
I would agree with that.
Okay, good. Psalm 5:5 says it. It says, I hate the wicked. Psalm 11:5 says, I hate those who love violence. These people that like the NFL football, MMA fighting, violent video games, violent movies. The world was destroyed with Noah because of violence. So look into a word study. Love is used for God to his people, us loving God, and us loving each other, true saints. The world is outside of that love until I repent and seek the love of God and Jesus. What these wicked false places have done is tell everybody, we're all loved greatly by God. Their gospel last night, I think it was Will Graham. I don't know, was he here in person?
No, Will Graham's not here.
Huh?
Will Graham is not here, no.
Did he speak?
No.
I heard some guy with a Billy Graham-like accent give the gospel. Yeah, so
Will Graham is going to be in Rapid City.
Okay, whatever. You know the gospel they preach up there? We want you to know that God loves you. He doesn't only love you. God loves you like that. And I listen. No call to repentance.
You're probably thinking about Crowder. Crowder has a southern accent.
No call to repentance. No warning that you must be born again to be in the kingdom of God. No call to holiness without which no one will see God. And no call of endurance in the faith. You have this hope of it today. You must strive in it tomorrow. You must strive in it next week. You must strive in it next month. These wicked places teach you, once saved, always saved. You said a prayer once, right? August 13, 1987. No matter how you're living today.
Talking about that all the time.
Yeah. It's an ongoing process is what we must strive in. So that's why we stand against these places. And in love, just like Jesus stood against the Pharisees. Paul stood against them. Almost everywhere I go when I preach, the police show up. You know why? Not because of me. I'm peace-loving. I stand with a sign. I stand on public property. I don't yell and scream at people. I preach. The only people I talk to, did you walk up to me today? The only people I talk to are the ones that walk up to me most times.
It's a divine intervention.
And they always call the police, and the police show up and go, what's going on? And I go, well, I got a body cam. I've just been preaching. You want to see it? They're like, oh, no. Yesterday, you know what some of these wicked people, not him, but some of the wicked people there, said I was yelling at and chasing young girls. My wife is with me the entire time. I have a body cam on. I street preach, and I only address people that walk up to me.
I didn't see that. You aren't doing that. I know that.
The police came up. A policewoman came up, and she goes, well, I have no problem with your First Amendment rights. And she pointed her finger. She goes, but don't you be yelling at young girls. And I looked at her, and I'm usually very mild with police because I honor the police. I've been doing this for years. I've never been arrested. I walked right at her and I said, before you bring accusations like that, you better have some proof. Have you done any investigation? Well, I'm just telling you, I don't know, whatever. Don't do it. And I said, you need to stop your accusations. I said, your chief will see your accusations. And then she turned around to me and you know what she said to me? Just knock it off now. And I looked at her and I said, I'm not going to knock anything off. Like, I'm breaking law. The police, I honor the police, but there is a side to the police that are becoming very domineering, very militant. I have police try to run me off from my First Amendment rights. You can't do this. And I said, oh, yes, I can. Paul called for his Roman rights.
He did.
I'm calling for my First Amendment rights. You call the chief. We were in Pigeon Falls, and it's a tourist place. We started preaching, and they said, oh, no, you can't preach anywhere around here. Like these guys. His wicked security guys tried to drive me off that corner. They said, you can't even stand on the corner. And I said, what? oh no, we rented this whole place. And I said, oh, the police verified. The police came up and they said, oh no, you're fine on this corner. In Pigeon Forge, the officials came out and told me, no, you have no First Amendment rights. You gotta go, you gotta go. And I said, call the police. I called the police and they said, well, hold on. And God always does this for me. The Father is awesome. I didn't plan any of this. I called the police and the guy goes, yeah, what's up? And I said, well, I'm a street preacher. Normally police go, oh, he's probably a troublemaker. You know, because a lot of street preachers are not nice men. They're wicked men. They are. I've never met very few biblical street preachers. They're usually calling out homos and whores, doing all this wicked stuff instead of preaching the gospel and standing for righteousness. But I got a cop and he goes, well, what's the problem? I said, they told me I have no First Amendment rights anywhere. Can you help me? And I thought he's going to go, well, whatever, I can't help you. He goes, let me get a hold of the plot manager. He gets the plot manager on the phone. He calls him back. He goes, you're good. He goes, that's our sidewalk. And the guy that was standing there trying to pressure me off, I said, you want to talk to the cop? He told me I'm fine. He goes, no. Turned around and he walked away. So the pressures in America are coming down on biblical preachers. It's coming down on the truth. And there's going to be a separation of all of these ecumenical compromised religious bodies. And they're going to go along with whatever the government says eventually. And there's going to be biblical saints that are going to be persecuted. This Absolutely. Is what it's coming to. This is what it's coming to. And when their 501c3 that they all love is challenged, okay, with, you get your 501c3 so you get all your free money. As long as you start marrying homosexuals and doing that. If you don't do that, we're going to take it away. 95% of them are going to go, well, we don't like it. But we need that free money.
Yeah.
For our buildings, for our programs, for our silly carnal concerts. And so, all of that together. I have all of this on my website for free. I don't take anyone's money.
Brother Jim, we're going to be friends.
We love you. Well, you contact me. I'd love to hear from you. You contact me and I'll encourage you. And here's my offer. I'm going to let you go. You've been so gracious. You find anything unbiblical on my website, anything I do wrong, you find me saying words that are rash, you find me teaching something wrong, you call me, you show me in scripture, I will listen to you. Then I will take it to myself and brothers and I'll say, this man's telling me I'm wrong. Do I need to correct this? Check it out, test it out. I'm testable, I'm approachable, I'm teachable. 99.99% of the pastors, not so. John MacArthur, you can't even get close to John MacArthur. I talked to a man about 8 years ago that tried to approach John MacArthur after the service one day to ask him questions. Do you know what happened to him? Security guards ushered him out and they said, ever come here again, we're calling the police. They ended up calling the police. He was banned from the property for wanting to ask John MacArthur some questions about the stuff I was telling you about. He's like the Pope. He's got security guards around him. No one can challenge him. No one can test him. But if you look up my testing, you'll see why his gospel's wrong. He's a Calvinist. He's worldly. He's linked to many, many false men. He's very much about money. John MacArthur, worth $16 million. How did he make it? Started a business somewhere. I have no problem with rich people. Jeff Bezos says, if you hate him or like him, he started that. He made himself what he is. These men all made their millions off the backs of God. Jesus would make that whip in John 2. And he would bring it to John MacArthur and he would flip over John's merchandise tables. What does that say about evangelicals that accepts him? Right?
I agree.
Love to hear from you sometime.
I'm going
to
ask you that same question.
What's that?
The questions you just asked me.
What's that?
I'm going to get a hold of you.
Oh, good, good. Yes, absolutely. You got my email, you got my phone number, you can text me. Can I ask where you folks from? What state?
Here.
Oh, you're South up here. Dakota. You said that.
Yep.